الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, we have entered into a new year. The Islamic calendar, the Hijra calendar, commenced and we are in the first month. This is very, very important for every mu'min to keep track of the Islamic date. This is our original date. This is our date. As far as keeping track of the Gregorian calendar, the English calendar as you may call it, that's as a matter of necessity because we live in a land where things are all identified and itemized as per that date. So therefore, we will keep track of that on the level of necessity, but not that a person doesn't even know what is the Islamic date, doesn't have any idea when the various important occasions are coming in terms of the Islamic calendar. So a mu'min keeps track of what is his original practice, what has been given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the Sahaba ikram. So this is our calendar and this is what we should be keeping in mind all the time. This Hijra calendar, we understand it 1442 after Hijra. So this commenced, the calculation of this commenced from the time of the Hijra of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This happened in the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, that he gathered the Sahaba and he put this forward to them that we should have a calendar. Prior to this, things were calculated as had been happening from long before, from the incident of the elephants, that this happened so many years after the incident of the elephants, the very well-known incident when Abraha tried to come and destroy the Kaaba Sharif with the huge army of elephants. And Allah Ta'ala caused the small little birds to come along and drop small little pebbles. And that became the source of the destruction, the means of the destruction of this entire mighty army of elephants. Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat was manifested on this occasion, and this being such a miraculous incident, that became the calculation point. But Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, we need to have something specific which identifies some aspect of deen. So the Sahaba all gave various suggestions which should be the starting point of the calculation of the Islamic calendar. But just to get to the main point, eventually it was the Hijra, the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not the date of the birth or the date of the passing on of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the battle of Badr for that matter, or the battle of Uhud for that matter. So there's so many various options, but out of all these options it was the Hijra. And obviously the Sahaba ikram and a personality like Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and the other rest of the very great and prominent Sahaba that were present at that time, all unanimously came to this point that this is where we should start off from. So this was not just by chance, just something without any reasoning that this was just chosen as the calculation date. There was a very deep lesson behind it. It was a lesson for the whole Ummah till Qiyamah, that this Hijra was the turning point in the entire tide. The tide was turned with the Hijra. The da'wat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started from the time Nubuwat was conferred upon him, and the very difficult time in Makkah Mukarramah, And then eventually the command of Allah Ta'ala came for hijrat. And in hijrat and migration, what was required? That every person who was able to make that hijrat, he had to leave behind everything. Leave behind his birthplace. Leave behind the land of his forefathers. Leave behind that business that he might have already established very well. Leave behind his home. Leave behind his family. Leave behind everything on the order of Allah Ta'ala. And move towards Allah Ta'ala's command. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ That flee towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And on this command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to make hijrah to Medina Munawwara, the Sahaba Kiram, on the order of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they left everything behind. And knowing full well in their hearts and minds that this is something we never coming back to permanently. So it was on the order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that all this was left behind. And they migrated to Medina Munawwara not knowing what's going to be awaiting them there. What kind of welcome they will get, though they got the best welcome. But when they migrated, they had no idea what's coming up. They didn't have any idea how they're going to continue with day-to-day life. No means of survival that they had. But on the order of Allah Ta'ala, they were ready to do everything. Now this is that lesson that we are to take every day the person sees the Islamic date, that it is today the 8th of Muharram, 1442. So now it's 1442 after Hijrah. So the Hijrah must come to mind. And every person is meant to take this lesson of the Hijrat and to become a Muhajir in every moment of his life. To become a Muhajir in every moment of his life. In the Hadith Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has declared, "Al-Mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah." That the real mujahid is the one who struggles against his nafs in fulfilling the commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in making sure that he is obedient to Allah Ta'ala at all times. There is the temptation to look at haram. He doesn't give in to that temptation. He makes mujahada against that temptation and he does what Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. There's a temptation to keep sleeping at the time of Fajr. He does not sleep at the time of Fajr. He wakes up and he goes on to the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He joins the jama'ah in the masjid to fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't shirk in that regard. It's a time of Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Whatever things come in his way at that time, Al-Mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. He is a true mujahid. He struggles against that nafs, against those temptations, against those obstacles, and he proceeds to the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to perform his salah with jama'ah. He forsakes whatever else comes in his way. That is the muhajir. The next part of this hadith sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wal muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an." That the true muhajir, and this muhajir is a muhajir at every moment of his life. The hijrat that a person makes from one place to another, as soon as he's reached the destination, mashallah, he got the thawab and the very tremendously great rewards of that hijrat. But that hijrat is now done. But the person who is a true muhajir, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man hajara." Hijrat means to leave. Like the Sahaba Kiram left Madina, Makkah Mukarrama for Madina Munawwara on the order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The true muhajir is the one who leaves out ma nahallahu an, whatever Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. So every moment of his life is sometimes tested. He steps out of his house, he is tested. In his business, he is tested. In his work, in his occupation, he is tested. Inside his house is tested too. How he conducts himself as a husband, how he conducts himself as a father, how he conducts himself as a son, how he conducts himself with people around him, he's tested. Does he forsake what Allah Ta'ala is displeased with? Forsake the vulgarity? Forsake the poor and terrible conduct and akhlaq? Does he forsake the things that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has cautioned us against? So now the person who is leaving out, every moment he is expected to leave out those things that come in the way of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And every time that he acts upon this, stops doing anything that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with, comes back to the itaat and the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, he, by giving up what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden, He is a muhajir. And inshallah, he continues living his life in this manner, continuously making hijrat from sin. Because this is the real muhajir, this is the real muttaqi. Like in the hadith sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that ittaqil maharim takun abadan nas. That give up haram. MashaAllah, these beautiful occasions come up. These very auspicious days and nights come. Like we are now on the eve almost of the Mubarak occasion of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, which is a very, very great and auspicious occasion. The person who fasts on the 10th of Muharram, the virtue that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that it becomes a means of the compensation of the sins of the past year. All the minor sins, which is not minor in reality. It's minor in terms of the classification that the fuqaha have made. Otherwise, any disobedience of Allah Ta'ala is very serious. And it's minor in comparison to other greater sins. But otherwise in itself, disobedience of our Creator, our Rabb, disobedience of our Nourisher and Sustainer, disobedience of that being who fed us, through whose permission we take every breath, that a person who now suddenly can't breathe and needs some machine to make him survive, some machine and ventilator to now make him breathe, then a person realizes what is the value of every breath. That Rabb who's granted us this air to breathe for free, and despite all his ni'mats and countless bounties and ni'mats that we enjoy every moment, we disobeyed him. Is that minor? Is that small? Nothing is small about that. Yes, in the classification of fuqaha and the jurists, something is called minor in comparison to something that is more serious than it. So this Mubarak occasion, a person fasts on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, becomes a means of the forgiveness of the minor sins of the previous year. What a tremendously great virtue and benefit. Then, among the very great virtues that have been mentioned, that man wassa'a ala iyalihi yawma Ashura, wassa'a Allahu alayhi sa'ira sanatihi aw kama qal, that the person who is generous upon his family on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, which commences from Maghrib on Saturday in our case. So Allah Ta'ala will be generous upon him throughout the year. So now this generosity within his means, within his capacity, without burdening himself with something he doesn't have, doesn't require him to go and take a loan from anywhere. Within his capacity, he spends a little extra on his family. Allah Ta'ala will grant him barakat and blessings throughout the year. So what a tremendously great bounty and benefit from Allah Ta'ala's side, such great blessings and rewards. So mashallah, on the one side, a person should take the opportunity, fast on the 10th of Muharram if he can, and be generous upon his family, and gain all these great benefits and bounties. But that is not where it ends. That is where it starts. It starts off by taking these virtues, but together with that, the very crucial factor, that these occasions are to become means of getting back to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. These are signboards that are meant to make us stop and take a look. Where am I heading? Which direction am I going in? Am I heading in the direction towards the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Have I become a muhajir? Am I a true mujahid? Am I making mujahada against my nafs? Am I making true hijrat from sin all the time? And forsaking whatever Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. So this is the very essence of all these occasions. To come back to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is saying, I will forgive your sins. So what does this mean? That then get this forgiven and carry on doing what you need to do? No, you start off on a new note. So now keep it clean. And now when a person gets this great virtue of the forgiveness of his minor sins, this should spur him now to make sincere tawbah. To make sincere tawbah from every sin, with the firm resolution not to go back to it, with remorse and regret in his heart. How could I have done this? How could I have disobeyed my Rabb? So this is the true essence of these occasions, that a person comes back to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, makes sincere tawbah, gives up all that sin and vice. So the hadith sharif we are discussing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ittaqil maharim. Give up what is haram. Takun a'badan nas. You will become the greatest abid. The greatest ibadat is to give up sin. MashaAllah, all these ibadat we should take advantage of. Fasting on the 10th of Muharram. making extra ibadat any time of the day and night, any nawafil, and we should be trying to do the best we can. Person tries to wake up for tahajjud, mashallah. Person performs his ishraq, chash, tawabin. All these, then making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, making tasbihat, dhikr, dua, and making whatever efforts he can of deen. All this should continue and be increased. But if a person, mashallah, is making a lot of efforts in this regard, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, it is like filling the tank up with that pure water. But then if he doesn't give up sin, he doesn't stop committing haram, he's not guarding his gaze, he hasn't deleted all that filth from his phone, he hasn't stopped committing haram in the various vices of the vice dens of the world, he is still indulging in all the other evils, then he has also made a huge hole under this tank. That hole is going to allow everything to drain out. All that noor that is going to enter the heart through this ibadat will drain out in one haram glance. It will drain out in all that filth that he spent that night on that haram. So this is the main thing that we have to bring back. Bring back the itaat of Allah Ta'ala, the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And these occasions come to remind us of what our destination is. Where we're heading to. We want to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, the bottom line is his obedience. Giving up haram, giving up sin. So on these occasions, we are meant to take a look at ourselves, take stock of our lives, and see where we are going, what direction we are taking, and make sincere tawbah, come back to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So on the one hand, this is that lesson we get every time that we remind ourselves of what is the Islamic date today, we remind ourselves of the hijrat. And we remind ourselves of this very great moment when the Sahaba Ikram left everything for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi left his place of birth, and as he left Makkah Mukarramah, he turned around and he looked in the direction of the Kaaba Sharif and he said, "Oh Makkah, how I love you." We will never understand how he loved it. And the Kaaba Sharif being there, and had it not been for my people driving me out of this place, I would have never left. But on the order of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also left. Now this is that lesson, to leave what Allah Ta'ala is displeased with. This lesson we take from the hijrat, that on the order of Allah Ta'ala, they left the Kaaba Sharif. What about us leaving on the order of Allah Ta'ala, what Allah Ta'ala has made haram? So mashallah, this is the occasion that we have. Then on the 10th of Muharram, that is the actual day. The 10th of Muharram is a day of Ashura. But mashallah, every year that this occasion comes, we all very well understand that lesson that was given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. When he was informed that the Jews also fast on the 10th of Muharram. Now this was brought up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the Sahaba kiram, because when they discovered this, whereas they were already fasting, meaning observing this 10th of Muharram, but when this became known to them, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very concerned. Why were they concerned? They were fasting because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the virtue of this. What difference it made if anybody else was doing something? The issue was that it was so deeply ingrained in them that there should be no resemblance with the Yahud and Nasara. There should be no resemblance with anybody else. The mu'min has his most beautiful way in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most perfect way of life. He has everything of the best. To leave what he has been given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to look elsewhere, that is a height of injustice to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is really the height of ingratitude to him for all that he has done for us, the untold difficulties and hardships that he experienced, the sacrifices that he had to make in order that we could receive this deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and we could be taking the name of Allah Ta'ala in his house today. And now we leave his Mubarak way of life in all the various things that we do in life, how we dress, how our families and children dress, how we conduct our weddings, how we have our other day-to-day things going on, the general lifestyle that we adopt. We forget the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we take somebody else's way. What a great injustice this is. And indeed it is these aspects that bring down the difficulties upon us. When we have embraced the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by embracing their way of life, how can we expect Allah Ta'ala's mercy to come upon us? When Allah Ta'ala's most beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the most beautiful way of life, which Allah Ta'ala loves so dearly, and Allah Ta'ala declares in the Quran Sharif, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. The crux of this is following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala loves this so dearly that you following in his Mubarak footsteps, you will become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. By merely emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. So what will be the outcome if you start emulating the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If we start adopting the ways of the Yahud and Nasara and start emulating the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our day-to-day lives, in how we conduct our weddings, how we conduct our businesses, how we live our general life, if this end by following in the Mubarak footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is going to make a person the beloved of Allah Ta'ala, embracing the ways of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is that going to draw down? If that is not going to draw down the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, what else is going to draw it down? If that is not going to take the barakat out of those marriages, what else is going to take it out? If that is not going to make that home devoid of blessings and make it a kind of example of Jahannam, then what else is going to do that? And to the extent that the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be brought alive, will be brought alive in that marriage, in that nikah, will be brought alive in that home, will be brought alive in that business, will be brought alive in any aspect of life, to that extent that barakah and blessing will come. To that extent that sukoon and itminan and tranquility and peace will come. So to the extent we want this peace, we want this happiness, we want this tranquility, there is no other route. That route is because the one who becomes the beloved of Allah Ta'ala, Allah will shower that sukoon upon him. Allah Ta'ala will shower that peace upon him. Then even if he is like other insan, challenged externally, physically challenged, challenged by some illness, challenged by some financial situation, but his heart will be still with peace. His heart will still be in sukoon because his heart is connected to Allah Ta'ala, who is the grantor of that sukoon and peace. So this is an occasion that comes where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sahaba came to him very, very concerned that the Yahud are also fasting on this day. And we are now outwardly resembling them. This was such a deep lesson in them that this mere outward resemblance also shook them. Can we now continue with this? Should we continue with this? So they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned this to him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them that sumu ashura wa khaliful yahud. That to start off with, we're not fasting because of them. This is a mere coincidence. And this is a mere outward resemblance. There's no resemblance in reality. It just looks like a resemblance. They are not doing it, we're not doing it because of them. But despite that, you continue keeping the fast of Ashura. Don't stop that. We're not doing it because of them. But you still oppose their way. Oppose them in their outward resemblance as well. Sumu yawman qablahu aw yawman ba'da. You keep a fast before it or a fast after it as well. So you fast on the 9th and 10th of Muharram, or you fast on the 10th and 11th. Because this was such an auspicious occasion, the Sahaba would never want to miss it out. So therefore they wanted to continue with it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, by all means, because this is a very great opportunity. It's not farz and compulsory, but something to try and take the benefit from as far as possible, not to lose out and miss out, but to oppose the way of the Yahud by fasting 2 days. They fasting 1 day now, we fasting two. So we're not resembling them. This is how deep this lesson of not resembling the Yahud and Nasara, how deep this lesson was ingrained in the Sahaba Kiram, and to what extent it was emphasized by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now mashallah, this occasion comes. So we will all, whoever has the zeal, and mashallah, most people have that zeal and they do keep the fast of Ashura. Allah Ta'ala increase the zeal. Allah Ta'ala accept and grant those tremendous bounties and benefits. But when we do keep it, we all try to keep that two fasts. We keep the fast on the 9th as well, and the 10th, or the 10th and 11th. So now this is the time to remind ourselves. I'm keeping this two fast, why? What was the background to this? The day of Ashura is the 10th of Muharram. And the virtues of Ashura is for the 10th of Muharram. Why am I fasting the 9th as well? I'm fasting the 9th because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given this directive that fast 2 days to oppose the ways of the Yahud. So now, mashallah, the person in that zeal is fasting 2 days. But then, have we taken the lesson as well? Or after having fasted 2 days, we forgot about it and left it behind. And then continued, even in those 2 days, living our lives in many, many aspects, emulating the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. What a tragedy that would be. That such a wonderful occasion came and gave us such a practical lesson. There are many lessons which are given to us as the theory. And we have to adopt that. It becomes part of a person's mindset. It becomes part of his shaping his heart. But subhanallah, this is such a practical lesson that he lives this. He fasts an additional day. But then despite this practical lesson, he forgets the message, forgets the lesson in it. What a tragedy. So mashallah, while fasting 2 days, let us also sit and stop and take a look around us. Take a look within us. How many things are there that are resembling the Yahud and Nasara? In my life, in my heart, how many things I aspire for, which are part of their culture and way of life? How many things that I really aspire for, which is not part of a mu'min's life, it's part of the way of life of somebody who's far away from deen, far away from iman. Person whose aspiration is only just how to make dunya jannat. Is that my aspiration? That at any cost, whether deen allows something or not, I must keep increasing the numbers. Then that aspiration is not the aspiration of a mu'min. A mu'min, he makes his moderate effort, whatever Allah Ta'ala blesses him with. But he lives with contentment. Allah Ta'ala blesses somebody with something and somebody else with 100 times more, but he lives with contentment. That's not his aspiration. That's not his object of life. How to keep increasing the numbers. And there's never a line. No, that's not his aspiration. His aspiration is akhirat. وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. Like in one hadith sharif, the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah, grant us this yearning to meet you. وَلَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. Ya Allah, the day will come when you must be blessed with your vision in akhirat. Let us be yearning that. And yearning to meet you. This is the aspiration of a mu'min. Dunya, he'll love dunya. He'll take it. Whatever efforts he has to make, he'll earn his halal living. But his aspiration is akhirat. Then around us, what kind of aspiration I have of how I want to dress, how my daughter must be dressed, how my wife, my mother should be dressed. This is a really something that we should be looking at very, very seriously, very deeply. Where have we gone? Can we find any resemblance? Very often, can we find any resemblance in the way that dressing is adopted for some function sometimes, where some female will write to ask a question, is it permissible for me to attend this function? Where there's complete segregation. There's complete segregation. There's no intermingling. But the manner in which the women are dressed, I can't bear it. That a woman is embarrassed to be among such women. Now, is there any resemblance with the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this? And is there going to be any barkat and any rahmat of Allah Ta'ala that's going to descend on such a gathering? Or is this a way of drawing down and inviting the azab of Allah Ta'ala? So these are just 2 examples as time is up. But to stop and think, sit down with our families, start taking a stock of ourselves, start looking into our lives, looking into our homes, looking in how we do day-to-day things. And how far are we away from the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How close are we towards the ways of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Let us start taking some concrete decisions to start turning the tide. We can't probably do everything at one time. We can do at least one thing at one time immediately. Take a decision. I'm going to start turning the tide now, not tomorrow. At least something I must start turning the tide now. For a start, at least change my heart, the aspiration of my heart. Start throwing one thing out at least, that is not anywhere close to the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather is part of the way of his enemies. Make some decision, make some joint resolution with our families. How are we going to move forward? How are we going to get closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How are we going to get closer to his Mubarak way of life? How we are going to become true muhajirin? Wal muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. The muhajir is one who forsakes what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the true meaning of all these occasions, the essence of it, the real purpose of these occasions, that we come back to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We make sincere tawbah from that life of sin and disobedience. We also take the barakat and blessings of all these great amal and we come to the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We give up the way of his enemies and become true ummatis of his. And in this way, inshallah, we can hope for his shafa'at and intercession on the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.